Let me ask you all a very important question today to start off my split sermon. And that is time important to you? Time in general. Ladies, is it as precious to you as, say, a diamond engagement ring or your wedding band or your children? Is time as important as those things? And men, is time as precious to you as your job, a sports car, or your family? Just how important is time and how you end up spending it? Consider the following quote. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who just failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, just ask the mother who gave birth to a premature baby. To realize the value of 1 week, ask the editor of a weekly newspaper. To realize the value of 1 day, ask a daily wage laborer with several children's mouths to feed. To realize the value of 1 hour, ask the lovers who are waiting to meet up with one another. To realize the value of 1 minute, ask the person who just missed the train. To realize the value of 1 second, ask the person who just avoided a car accident. And to realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who just won a silver gold medal, or a silver medal instead of a gold medal. The anonymous author of these words should help us realize just how important time is to each of us. And we all have equal amounts of time at our disposal. I don't have any more or less than any of you do. Each individual, no matter how old or young we might be, has the same amount. We each have 7 days in a week, each containing 24 hours in a day, or 1,440 minutes, or, if you want to get too technical, 86,400 seconds. So, with all that time at our disposal, how do you end up spending it? And is it important? The short answer is yes, it is. Now, we all need to sleep. We all need to maintain our bodies, right? We all need to eat and make a living, too. And those things take up a very good portion of our time, don't they? So if we all have 24 hours in a day, I would guesstimate that 2/3 to 3/4 of that time is taken up with just those things, with sleeping, personal hygiene, eating, and working. So that only leaves about 1/4 to 1/3 of our day for what I'll call free time. Now, if you're retired or if you don't work a full-time job, you'll have more free time at your disposal as with someone who might have a full-time job. But no matter how much free time each of us has at our disposal, what we do with that time does matter. How we use it will largely determine how far we'll go in life and in our relationship with our Creator. God gave us time, didn't He? Every second of it. And it's a great blessing. But it's also a great responsibility. We realize that God looks at time a little bit more differently than we do. He's not limited to time because God lives outside of it in something called eternity, something that I don't think we can really grasp or comprehend yet. But God created time and He gave it to us for a specific purpose. He gave us these temporary bodies, our lives, to prepare us for the more permanent ones. Now, in order to prepare for the kingdom of God and that permanent life that we'll have, we need to first learn to use specific time management techniques given to us in the pages of our Bibles. That's what we'll be doing and talking about today in this split sermon, is taking a look at what I'd like to call Christian time management. And thus, the title of my message is Christian Time Management 101. Now, is Christian time management any different than just regular time management skills or practices? Yes and no. If you look at time management in general, As a learning tool, it's a very big booming business nowadays. You can go to any library or bookstore and go down some of the aisles and find hundreds of books just on time management, the subject of it. Or you can go online and find thousands and thousands of websites devoted to this very thing. At my place of work, those of us that are in the marketing department have gone through a series of audio tapes and handouts on time blocking. Now, time blocking is very similar to time management in that what we learned is to take chunks of time and just focus our attention on one specific task within that time frame to accomplish that task and then move on to something else. And by focusing just on one thing, you can tend to get more accomplished in a shorter period of time than if you were trying to multitask and do many different things at once. So in essence, we were learning to manage our time and prioritize our work days anyways in order to be the most productive in them. It seems like everyone, from small businesses to individuals, wants to get more done and control the use of their time. But for Christians, the need to manage our time is far greater, I think, and more urgent than simply trying to make the most of each task in a given time frame. Time management experts and philosophers are fond of reminding us that time is valuable to us in our life, and whatever controls our time controls our life. Most of us deal or have dealt with these types of thoughts at times. I'll go over a couple here. Have you ever thought, well, I just can't get everything done? You know, if you're at work or if you're at home trying to get things caught up and you have a lot to do, have you ever thought that, well, I'm just not going to be able to get everything done like I want to? Or how about this? I'm a slave to the clock and I can't even have a break. Are you too busy at work to take even a break or your lunch break? Sometimes I am. Well, how about I'm busy all the time, but I never feel like I'm getting the important things accomplished? Or with so many priorities, it's hard to know what to do next because everything seems like it's important, doesn't it? And the last one, but when I do take off time, it just seems to slip away and I don't feel like anything's gotten done, like I've just wasted the day. Ever felt like that before? We all face different time challenges because we are all different people and we all live different walks of life. But in generally speaking, we all have the same desire, and that, I believe, is to make the best use of our time to accomplish the things that we truly feel are important in our life. The thing that makes Christian time management different than just regular time management is the source of what we consider important as Christians, and that source is God. So a good starting point is to get off on the right track would be to actually consider how God views time and what he wants us to learn from time management. Now, like I said earlier, God, he inhabits eternity, doesn't he? You can jot down Isaiah 57:15 for a reference to that fact. And since God created time, it's hard to understand truth is that he has been around forever, even before time existed. And like I said, I don't think our brains can really comprehend that truth. But to try and help us get at least a little bit of that understanding on God's perspective of time, I'd like us to turn to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. This one verse here in 2 Peter 3 in verse 8, which reads, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." This verse of scripture only sheds, I think, a small amount of light on this subject. But from this verse, we can see and recognize that God is unrestricted by time as we see it. But though God is not controlled by time the way that we humans are, He still puts great emphasis on it and expects us to utilize our time well. God is always punctual, isn't He? He always acts at the right time in our lives to help us, to assist us with decisions, with a trial that we might be going through, or similar events that come our way. And even though to us it may seem like we have to wait a long time, He still does intervene in our lives. Now, I'm sure we've all gone through something like this. When a trial comes up and we get down on our knees and ask God to help us. Now, do we ask God to help us, say, in a couple weeks from then or a couple days? No. We get down on our knees and we pray and we ask God to help us right now. So the thing is, we want Him to help us right now or right then, when we're going through whatever it is we're going through, whatever situation we're facing. But after a few days, after a few weeks, months, or even a few years, we'll look back and see that God intervened at precisely the right time in our lives to help us, even if we didn't see it that way. So yes, God is in control of time and what goes on in it. And besides this aspect of time management, God also has set aside certain times, days, that He has blessed to benefit our use of time. These times are designed to instruct and teach us important lessons and to reveal His plan for all of mankind. The Sabbath day, today, and the seven annual festivals or feast days are set apart. They are sanctified. But they're not done so for God's benefit. He hasn't set these times up for His benefit, but for ours, right? To help us recognize and understand that His plan of salvation for all of mankind and what is required of us to reach that finish line, so to speak. You can read God's instruction about these appointed times in familiar places in the Bible, like Exodus 20 and Leviticus 23. And this is important, brethren. The point that I'm trying to make here is that God created time as a tool for all of us to use. And He expects us to use our time wisely instead of foolishly. We were created in this universe of time for one specific purpose. That purpose is to learn His truth. And through growing and learning about God and His purpose for all of us, showing us the proper way to live and spend our time, actually, we can grow and develop the character of God. Now, if you get nothing else out of this entire message, remember this, that Christian time management means learning to use time as God wants us to use it. Christian time management means learning to use time as God wants us to use it, not how we want to use it. If you would, turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we'll start reading in verse 1. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." In verse 3, "And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." God wants us to become His children, doesn't He? To be like Him. Now, when you were a little boy or a little girl, didn't you go through a phase in your life where when you grew up, you wanted to be just like your mom or your dad? I did. And didn't you think that they were just the greatest thing since sliced bread? right? And I bet that made them feel joyful. That made them feel happy knowing that you wanted to be like them, right? God wants the same thing for us, doesn't he? When he looks down, he wants us to become like him and our elder brother Jesus Christ. And that pleases God if we are obedient and if we are faithful and living a life worthy of his calling. And through proper use of our time, we can do that. Now, in order for us to become more like God, we first need to learn to have priorities like his. Then once we have them, we can learn to use those priorities by producing a plan for each one of us. This plan's purpose is to help us improve our lives and align them to God's plans or timetable for us. Like I said, not what we want to get done with our time, but what he wants us to accomplish. Then we need to take action. We need to put those plans into use. This is the only way we will be able to succeed in managing our time wisely, I think. We already know that God's priorities and plans work and that they produce fruit, don't they? Ours can as well, I believe. So today, I have three simple steps that we'll go over that should help us follow and align our goals, our dreams, and our lives to God's plans for us. And like I just stated, first, step number one, we need to prioritize. And then second, we're going to need to plan. And then third, we'll need to perform. So the three P's, prioritize, plan, and perform. So let's take a look at step number one now, which is to prioritize. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 33. We'll just read one verse here where God reveals to us what is truly important in this life now. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 6 chapter 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." What does our first priority in life need to be then, brethren? What do we need to make time for in our busy lives? Priority number one for us should be to seek God's kingdom. The kingdom of God is the perfect government of God that will be established here on earth when Jesus Christ returns. With it, we'll bring peace and prosperity for the entire earth. We won't be there to help serve unless we are preparing now, each and every day of our lives, to live the right way, which is God's way. Seeking his righteousness, as it says here in verse 33, means striving to live God's way. His laws, statutes, and his commandments are beneficial for all of us sitting here today, aren't they? You wouldn't be here listening to this message on the Sabbath day unless you knew that in your mind and in your heart that God's way works, that living out the Ten Commandments and his laws in your life, it works, doesn't it? Striving to live the right way means to obey God's beneficial laws, which are always based on love. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, you can just jot that down. It says this, it says, "Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" Again, that was Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus Christ tells us that all things are based on God's love. So if your Heavenly Father loves you so much, if he cares for each one of you so much, gives and provides for you and blesses your life in ways that you can't possibly even imagine, shouldn't your life then be committed to His time management goals for you? We should be asking and seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness every single day. Now, at the end of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it tells us an amazing thing about God's priorities and what happens if and only if we align them with ours. If we put what God says is important first in our life, it says all other things we need and want in this life will be added to us as well. People of this world tend to put things like money, wealth and fame and fortune and material items first in their life and at a higher priority level. If we put money and things as equal to or at even a higher priority than seeking God's kingdom, in the long run, we will have neither. We won't have a place in His kingdom nor His righteousness. We can't take charge of our time without clearly defining our priorities in this life. We must prioritize what matters to us most first. And seeking God's kingdom is priority number one. If we don't do it, it'll just get pushed aside. And we'll end up getting sidetracked by the thousands or hundreds or tens of other things that we feel are important in our lives. Now, I guess when you think of prioritizing your life a bit, especially now at this time of year, you may think of making resolutions. After all, it's the new year, it's 2015, and lots of people decide to make New Year's resolutions, don't they? Now, I don't believe in making New Year's resolutions, but just to make resolutions in your life? Sure. I think that's quite acceptable. If I can decide to alter my lifestyle to a small or large degree to do something that will benefit me, then I'll do so. Why not? After all, a resolution is all about determining and deciding upon a course of action in your life that will hopefully make it better. You're basically just prioritizing or reprioritizing your life to one degree or another, aren't you? When you make a resolution. The thing is, you just have to stick it out to the very end and not give up, I think, as so many other people tend to do with New Year's resolutions. And you've got to have a plan of action. First, you need priorities, and then you need to plan them out to make sure that you are performing them in your life the way that you should, and so that you don't just lose the fact that you had priorities to begin with in the first place. So, if I could tell a little story about myself here for a few minutes. Just over 3 years ago, I made myself a resolution. I didn't tell anybody, not even Bibi. Now you may think, oh, he's keeping secrets from his wife. But no, I'm not. And as soon as I tell you what it is, she'll know, because she's seen me do it every single day. I took a look at my life and asked myself how I could grow in my knowledge of the Bible. After all, there is so much contained within it, isn't there? And now I knew I couldn't possibly understand everything that the Bible says. No one can. But I was determined, I resolved in my life that I was going to reprioritize it, you could say, to grow in the knowledge of the Bible. Now, after giving it some thought, just after the feast in 2011, I came up with a solution. I was going to start a Bible reading program. You see, up until that point, I had not read the Bible, not even once, from cover to cover. And the times that I did read it were mostly during Sabbath services or on the Sabbath day. Usually during the week, my Bible was left in its case or left sitting around or something of that nature. Now this, in 2011, this was the same year that I also purchased my iPad. A lot of you know what that device is. And I told you how happy I was about it in the previous message a while ago about it. Now at that time, I had already downloaded a Bible app and found out that it did contain Bible reading plans on it. So in late November or early December, I can't remember when, of that year in 2011, I started my first reading plan. And it was easy to keep track of the scriptures I needed to read because each day the plan had already set them up for me. And if I missed a day, I would just go back and read 2 days worth because the app just kept on reminding you every single day to keep on reading. That was a little over 3 years ago now. And today, exactly today, I will have finished reading the Bible 3 times. You see, I just didn't want to read the Bible through once and glean what I could, which it would just be a tiny bit of knowledge, of understanding. No, what I wanted to do was make this a lifelong commitment so I could learn as much as I could. So I made a resolution way back in 2011 to read the Bible once through each year for the rest of my life. And that's what I'll do. It's pretty much the only thing that I know of for sure that I will continue to do in my life. And so now that I've just finished reading the Bible for the 3rd time, I'll start reading it the 4th time this year. And then next year, I'll start reading it for the 5th time and so on. I'll just keep on going and rereading the Bible. And hopefully each time, every time that I do read it, I'll gain that much more knowledge about it. I think the first time that I read it, it gave a couple scriptures from the Old Testament and the New Testament at the same time. And the 2nd time that I read it, it was from Genesis to Revelation. But what we need to realize is that if you read it from Genesis to Revelation, that's not in chronological order. So what I just finished up today was a reading plan that I read in chronological order from Genesis to Revelation. What I'm going to do next, I don't know, so don't ask me. So, is Christian time management important then? Is prioritizing your life around God instead of what you think is important, is that important? I think we all know the answer to that question, brethren. Leadership coach, consultant, facilitator, speaker, and author, Lolly Daskal, had this to say about time management and generally speaking. She says, to master time management is to set priorities among your goals. There is never enough time to do everything, is there? And I think we can all agree with that. But, she continues on, there is always enough time to do what is important. Our priorities need to become our goals in life. And in order for us to focus and to succeed at them and not fail, we need to take the next step. So, like I said before, step number 2 is to plan. Plan out those priorities that you set up for yourself. The Bible shows us that God is, among other things, a master planner, isn't he? And he wants us to become planners as well. We need to have long-range plans, annual plans, daily plans, and even hourly plans, maybe, if we are going to succeed. And maybe even plans in between all those plans as well, who knows? But why do you think we need to plan in the first place? Well, Daskal explains that planning our time, and I quote, is not about filling every moment with busy work, but rather organizing our time around what is important. Planning for how to spend your time enables you to work far more efficiently than figuring it out as you go. what is planned happens because planning leads to action. Now, just like the case of my Bible reading plan, I go by an annual or yearly plan. And in each day of that plan, it contains the material that I need to read for that day. And if, like I said, if I miss a day, I can just catch up the next day. So planning our priorities is important in order for us to keep on the right track. It's not good enough just to have priorities and think that one day you'll get to them. No, you need to plan them out systematically so that you can take use, full use of them. So based on God's priorities that we can find throughout the Bible, what does He want us to plan for, you think, in our lives? If we are to succeed in reaching our goal, that goal being priority number one, to reach His kingdom. Well, first and foremost, we need to plan time for God. This includes time for praying to our Heavenly Father and studying His Bible daily. Now, I know these things are stated many times in various messages we've heard over the years. But have you ever asked yourself why that is? Why do we keep hearing about messages on prayer or fasting or meditation or Bible study? I think it's because these things are the fundamental tools we have at our disposal that assist us in actually drawing closer to God. And we need to have that closeness if we are going to remain faithful, if we are going to remain obedient in all this sin that we have around us. If you would, turn with me to Psalm 55:16. In this familiar set of verses, David shows us the priority level he gave to prayer. In Psalm 55, starting in verse 16, it says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." So we can see here that David made it a priority level of his to pray three times a day, as we all know. Now, you don't need to turn there, but you can just jot down 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'll be reading verses 16 to 18. And here it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So in just these few verses of Scripture that we just read and went over, we can see the high priority level that our prayer life needs to be at, brethren. Constant contact with God is crucial in helping us through the good times in life, but more importantly, the bad ones, the trials we face. Another priority is daily Bible study. And a good example of this can be found in Acts 17. In Acts 17, starting in verse 10, it says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now these, talking about the Bereans, were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. And also, not only that, but they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, it says. So not only did the Bereans listen to what was being preached and taught to them in the synagogue, but more importantly, afterwards, after they had heard what they heard, they went back into the Scripture and read it to make sure that what they heard was the truth. Verse 11 says they did this daily. So Bible study is important. It helps us acquire the knowledge we need to tackle all the tasks in our lives, I think. We find out how to live our lives as God wants us to and expects us to by studying our Bible and then putting into practice what we learned. Coming to church services each week and listening to the messages alone, I don't think that'll cut it for us. We need that extra time planned out and built into our lives so that we can stay close to God and focused on reaching that goal of the kingdom. Like I said, prayer and Bible study, along with fasting and meditation, are core components that need to have priority in our lives. And they need to be planned out so that we don't neglect them, brethren. Now, besides these, what other things do you think we can plan into our life? Well, we can also plan time for family and friends, can't we? Relationships take work, though. They take time and effort if we desire for them to grow and flourish and become strong bonds between you and whoever else. But our first relationship priority is one that we already talked about, and that is staying close to God. But our relationships between us and our family and friends are also very important. An example of this can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, here God commands parents to spend time teaching their children. Starting in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, it says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." So basically all the time. We can plan time for work. Another planning thing is plan time for work. Not only our regular daily jobs, but other work that we need, say, done around our homes. You can plan time for those household chores as well. The fourth commandment tells us that work should be planned out during the first 6 days of the week so that we will be ready to obey God's commandment not to work on the seventh day, the Sabbath day. I know that's one thing that I think we all look forward to, is having a downtime, so to speak, having that time committed to learning more and to spending time with God and each other, as we are instructed to do. We can also plan time for learning new things in our lives. I think we should never stop in our pursuit of knowledge. Our education should not have ended after high school or college. We should continue learning new things throughout our lives. Why? Why do you think so? I think just for, if nothing else, the simple fact to keep your mind sharp and attentive. Proverbs 1:5 tells us that a wise man will hear and increase learning. So whether you take up some online courses, learn a new trade or craft, or develop a new skill set, the importance of continued lifelong learning is something we can all plan for in our lives. Other things you can plan for would be things like your health and just rest and relaxation. Learning and planning to eat a balanced diet and getting enough sleep and exercise should be a priority for all of us. And one very important way to reduce stress in our life, not that any of us has that, right? None of us has stress, is to relax a bit, to take time off from work for a vacation, or just to spend time with family. Now, there are other things that you may want to plan for, and these are just a few examples that I've gone over today. Now, the best priorities and the best plans in the world are worthless unless they are put into practice, which leads us to step number 3, which is performance. Now, this step doesn't need as much explanation as the first two, just for, I think, the simple fact that it's pretty straightforward in its approach. After you've come up with your priorities and plan them into your daily or weekly schedules, all you have to do is get motivated about them. To implement your plans requires a constant motivation, focus, and persistence on our part. At times, it can be hard, I think, to choose the things that are truly important in our lives because there seems to be so much going on. God gives us a number of reminders and prods, though, to help us see the urgency of practicing our priorities and plans. He tells us to count our days, to recognize how short life is, and how precious every day is to us. This should lead us to realize that we need to make full use of our time and not waste it. God wants us to recognize that every minute counts and should be used in a godly way. It's hard, I know, but that doesn't mean that we can simply give up. God is diligent in all his efforts, isn't he? And I think we need to have that same approach if we are going to continue to glorify him by how we live our lives and manage our time that we have available. Life isn't easy, is it, brethren? But then again, God never said that it would be, and especially for those that he's called and chosen to follow him. In fact, we are told in Scripture that this life will be full of challenges, won't it? It'll be full of trials. Why? Just to test us, just to see how we will perform. We can't let Satan win by allowing him to enter into our lives. The only way we can overcome all that evil that fills this world is to structure our lives around God and following his loving laws, statutes, and commandments, all of which help aid in this physical body that we have now, so that we can reach the spiritual ones, the more permanent ones in his kingdom. So take a look at your life and see if how you are living it right now is how God wants you to be living it. It's never too late to make God's priorities your priorities. That is step number one. Then, begin the planning stage by examining how best to implement those priorities into your life. That's step number two. And finally, motivate yourself to perform at optimal levels. Don't give up on your priorities or your plans, but persevere through them and continue to see them through each and every day. That's step number three. And that, my friends, is Christian Time Management 101.